Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davids, and today it's our Friday teaching series centered on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, based, of course, on Bob's book of the same title. Both the book and the study guide are available at basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link right there at the top of the homepage to order yours. But right now, it's time to get underway with today's study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're looking at Chapter 11 of our study guide, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're on page 83 today, and hopefully we're going to finish this chapter 11, but we're looking at the story in the Old Testament that we know of as the Exodus. And this story really is a shadow of what Christ has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I think it really is important in the New Testament writings. I think especially when Paul was writing, for example, Romans 6 and 7, I think this story really kind of underscored what he was writing there, was really kind of foundational to help him explain exactly what Christ has done for us in delivering us from sin and death. So we're going to take a look at this story in the Old Testament. We're going to be in Exodus chapters 12, 13, and 14. We're going to look at various passages there. But last week, we looked at the fact that God made a promise to the nation of Israel through Moses. He says, I want you to lead the people. I've heard their cries. I have come down to deliver them by my power and my presence. Right. So that's our hope. It's the power of God. It's the presence of God. And the same is true for us here and now. The power and presence of God is the very thing that delivered us from sin and death. So Jesus Christ, this is in the middle of page 83, Jesus Christ delivered you out of darkness. He set you free by unlocking the chains of sin and death that held you captive. So the Israelites, they were held captive by the Egyptians. They were held captive by them for 400 plus years. And then God heard their cries and came down and delivered them. They experienced this exodus, this move from Egypt to the promised land. Now, Jesus didn't leave you to figure out this newfound freedom on your own. He came to live inside of you. Your hope of living life to the full is anchored to his power and presence in you. Now, I want to read that again, and I want you to really make note of this, either a mental note of this or write it down, because this is vitally important. Your hope of living life to the full is anchored to Christ's power and presence in you. You have the power of God living in you. You have the presence of God living in you. And that is your hope of glory. Now, this hope trumps fear. That's good news. All of us are scared to death in life. And this hope that we have, this anchor for our soul, can help us overcome that fear in our day-to-day lives. This hope also silences all of those legalistic voices, both the internal ones and the external ones that say you can't handle freedom. Christ speaks loudly, confidently, clearly. He says that you can. And the reason you can is because of his power, his presence in you.
Yeah.
That's good news. So with that as kind of the backdrop or the introduction, let's take a look at the story of the Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 12, and God sent Moses to Pharaoh, and he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh was not real receptive to that idea, and he said, no way, it's not going to happen. And so we see a number of judgments, a number of miracles, a number of plagues and things like that that took place. And in all of these, God was executing judgment on the Egyptian gods. I mean, they had things that they worshiped for just about every aspect of life. And God was saying to them, if you think your gods are so big and are hot shots and you rely and depend upon them, let's see how they do compared to me.
Yeah.
And all of those, the Egyptian gods came up short. And no wonder, Egyptian gods were figments of the Egyptians' imaginations. They're not real. There's only one God.
Yeah.
He is the great I Am, and he's manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ. I love some of the stories in the prophets, in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they are really making fun of the people worshiping these pagan gods, and they're saying, hey, You cut down a tree and you use part of it for fire and that sort of thing, and then you take some of it and carve it out and place it on a table and call it God. Mm-hmm. And you bow down and worship it. But let me ask you a question. If that God was going to move from point A to point B, how would it have to move? You would have to go over, pick it up, and take it from point A to point B. That's how powerless that God you're worshiping is. It's just a dumb idol that has come out of your imagination. And so God is saying the same thing to the Egyptian gods. Now, Pharaoh thought he was the most supreme, and he was really the highest of all of the gods. And so this final judgment is what we know of as the Passover. And in Exodus 12, verse 3, and then in verses 6 through 7, we're going to look at these and we're going to ask some questions. So in this passage, here's what God says to Moses. He says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Mm-hmm. So this is the Passover. This is the final judgment of God on the Egyptians and their gods. And so he's saying something horrible is going to happen, but you're going to be protected. And here's how you're going to be protected: by sacrificing a lamb, taking some of the blood, putting that blood on the doorpost and lintel of your household. And when the angel of death sees that, he will pass over, hence the name, the Passover Festival. Now, what is this a picture of? Well, this is a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus protects us from the wrath to come. That's what we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that we have been saved from the wrath of God by the very life of Jesus Christ. So this story, this Passover story, is a picture of that. So what were God's instructions to the people concerning Passover? Well, they were to take a lamb. They were to take care of that lamb from the 10th day until the 14th day. And then on that 14th day, they were to sacrifice the lamb and take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost of the houses where they lived.
Yeah.
So that was God's instructions to the people. Now, in verse 12 of Exodus 12, we read this: on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. And then he says, I am the Lord. So what two things were God going to do on this Passover night? Well, he says that he's going to pass through Egypt, and he's going to strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And in so doing, he's going to bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Did they deserve to be judged? Absolutely. Sometimes we read this story and we think, wow, that seems so draconian, seems so harsh, it seems so out of character as far as God is concerned. But no, these Egyptians had held his people in bondage for 400 years, had treated them ruthlessly, and they had done so through their own pagan worship. Right. They thought that was the thing to do. And God said, I'm going to bring judgment upon your gods. Now, Pharaoh, he was unable to protect his firstborn. And that's what eventually got to Pharaoh. Now, in verse 13, we read this. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So what was his promise to the Israelites? That they were going to be spared.
Yeah.
Because of the blood of the lamb, God would pass over and no destructive plague would touch them. The wrath of God would not touch those covered by the blood. Talk about good news.
It is
That's good
news.
Right.
Simple gospel, simply grace kind of news. And friends, you know, in-depth teaching of the new covenant grace in Jesus Christ is what we bring to the airwaves and online in these Friday teaching series. And this current study, of course, is based on Bob Christopher's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. The title of his book by the same name. And, you know, to review any of these weekly sessions, visit the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. To get a copy of the study guide, you can order it and the book directly from that archive page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, friends, we invite you to help support this media outreach called Basic Gospel. It is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your help to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel this month, we want to send you a copy of a new resource by Bob Christopher. It's called Advance, a CD series designed to assist you in advancing in the knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. Request your copy when you make your February gift at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Now back to our study, and again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we're right in the middle of the Exodus story, and I think this is one of the most beautiful stories in all the Word of God, and it's really at the heart and soul of what Christ did for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So it's important for us to see this.
Yeah.
The shadow of the cross, the shadow of the resurrection is really seen in this story. So God told the people of Israel, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to sacrifice it. I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. I'm going to come through the land. I'm going to pass through. And when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. You're going to be spared. No destructive plagues will touch you. But those who do not have the blood on their doorpost, they're going to see the firstborn of both people and animals taken, their lives taken. And this was a judgment upon the gods of Israel. And that's what we learned, that God was bringing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Sorry, I said Israel, but I meant Egypt there.
Yes.
So God was bringing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Now, in chapter 13, or chapter 12, verses 31 through 32, it says, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you've said, and go, and also bless me. So Pharaoh, as I mentioned earlier, thought he was the supreme being on planet Earth, that he had the most power and that everybody should bow down and worship him.
Kind of a slight ego there.
Yeah, slight ego, absolutely. Well, the Roman emperors felt the same way.
Yeah.
They demanded that people would bow down and worship them and to say Caesar is Lord. That's why it was such an offense when Christians would go into the Roman Empire and say, no, Jesus is not, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. And that was almost a death sentence.
Yes.
For many of the believers back then. Well, Pharaoh wasn't Lord either. God was the one true God. He was the Lord. And he let that be known. And so Pharaoh thought he had all the power that he needed. And yet when this judgment from God came upon him, he had no power, nothing at all that he could do to protect his one son. Now, that's a stark contrast to the power of God. When God offered his one and only son, he died, but 3 days later, God brought him back to life. That's the difference. Pharaoh had no power whatsoever over death. God does have power over death, and it's through that power over death that we are delivered from sin and death. It's through that power over death that we experience salvation. So finally, Pharaoh came to that point and said, "Go, Moses, take the people and get out of here." Now, in chapter 13, we see them leaving Egypt. In verses 21 and 22 of chapter 13, we read this: "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." So who was leading the charge? It was God himself. His presence was the very thing that brought about this deliverance, that brought about this salvation, that brought about this exodus, this freedom, this liberty that was now the people of Israel's. Mm-hmm. And he went with the people, and he made himself known, manifest, through a pillar of clouds during the day and through a pillar of fire at night. Yeah. So this is important for us to recognize this symbolism here. On the day of Pentecost, there were tongues of fire that appeared above the heads of the apostles. Well, what was that? That was an indication of the presence of God about to take up residence in his new dwelling place, the hearts of men. That is important. Yeah. So his presence was symbolized by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. His presence went with the people. So how did the Lord lead them? By his very presence. Right. In Exodus 14:10, it says, "As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord." So we know the story. Pharaoh came to a point and said, "I've had enough. Moses, take your people and get out of here." And as soon as they left, Pharaoh started to rethink that whole situation and said, "Wait a minute, our labor force is leaving. Our slaves are leaving. What are we going to do? How are we going to replace them?" So he says, "Well, we're not. We're going to go get them back." And so he summons his armies, and he takes off after the Israelites. Now, the Israelites get to the Red Sea, and they look back, and they see the Egyptian armies gaining ground. And as it says here, as they looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it, Bob? They had just seen God set them free. I mean, through this Passover, through all of these judgments,
right,
they witnessed that. They saw that with their eyes, all of the power of God revealed in all of those judgments. And
right
there at the end, they see his mercy in extending the blood of the Lamb to be their protection. So he sees the Israelites see God's power. The Israelites see his mercy toward them. And yet when they look back and they see the Egyptian army, they respond in terror and they cry out to the Lord. Now in verses 11 and 12 of Exodus 14, we see this. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So they looked at their situation, and they felt like they were trapped. There was death in front of them with the Red Sea. There was death behind them with the Egyptian army. And they started complaining and griping to Moses, why did you do that? This? Why did you lead us out of the land? We were happy being slaves. We were happy being slaves to the Egyptians. It looks like we've lost our... Okay, I am here. And we're going to continue. We've had some technical difficulties here in the studio, but I think Greg has gotten that taken care of, at least for my microphone. Bob Davis will just remain silent for the rest of this time. So the Israelites were panicked. They were terrified. They knew they were about to die. Well, It's interesting. They had God's presence with them. They had seen his power over all the Egyptian gods. Everything was going fine for the Israelites. And yet, when they looked at the circumstances and forgot that God's power and presence was with them, fear overcame them, and they just knew that they were going to die. They lost perspective. And that's true for us. When fear overtakes us, when fear really gets a grip on our hearts and a grip in our minds, we lose perspective. We forget about the power and presence of God. We forget that of all the things that he has done for us in the past. We forget of our own salvation, the fact that we were once dead in trespasses and sins, but now we're alive together with Christ. We once forgot that we were dirty, that we were distant, and yet God, through his power, cleansed us, forgave us, and drew us near unto himself, and then sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. We forget about that when fear grips our hearts. That's why the Word of God continues to tell us, continues to teach us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So standing on the shores of the Red Sea, the Israelites believed that their end was near. Now, how did God save them in this Exodus? He said, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land, and the waters were divided. That's how God saves, in a miraculous, powerful way. He does the impossible. What to us is impossible, but it's not impossible to him. God has power over every force in this universe. There's no power in this universe that is greater than him. Death is a powerful force. Mankind has yet to figure out how to overcome the power of death, and yet God has. He's already demonstrated that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing our God cannot do. And so what did he do for the Israelites? Not only did he liberate them from the hands of the Egyptians, he opened up the Red Sea and enabled the people to walk across on dry land. And once they got to the other side, those waters came crashing down on the Egyptian armies. They died in the Red Sea, and free at last. The people of Israel were free at last. That's what your God has done for you. He has freed you from the power of sin and death by his power, by his presence, and that's the way it is from that moment forward. His power, his presence will lead you into the full measure of freedom that you have in Christ. Well, thanks for being with us. We'll be back for another live edition on Monday. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ.